Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547. In the presence of the Lord, this is a wonderful day, bro. Yemi, thank you so much for that. The Lord has been faithful to us. The entrance of God's word brings light and understanding. The more God's word dwell in you, the more light possesses you, and the more your life is able to express light. Amen? Yes. The entrance of God's word brings light and understanding. If you want your light to shine, then let the words of Christ dwell in you richly. When you see a believer that is not afraid of the dark, because there is a terror of the dark. We shall not be afraid of the terror. How did he put it? We shall not be afraid of pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that we see at noonday. Say, 1,000 shall fall by our side and 10,000 by our right side, but it shall not come near us. The reason is because you are now light. Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then he now said that you are the light of the world. You know why? Jesus is the original light. The reason why we are also the light of the world is because we are now members of the body of Christ. If I am the light of the world, and somebody is my leg or somebody is my hand, because that person is a member of my body, that person is also going to be the light of the world. So our light, our ability to shine the light is predicated on our union with Christ. The Bible says he that is joined with the Lord is one spirit with the Lord. And this is not possible without the communion of the Holy Spirit. If you do not know... Now, when I see believers... Somebody sent me a message one time and explained the kind of demonic affliction that he had been going through. And this, how the devil would try to make him a captive to immorality. And one of the first questions I asked him is, are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? See, people contact me a lot for such counseling. But one of the first questions I always ask is, are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? And many people will say, yes, I am baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because somebody laid hands on them once upon a time and they spoke in tongues. But you see, being baptized in the Holy Ghost and not staying filled with the Holy Ghost is will be as if you are not even baptized in the Holy Ghost. So the Bible says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Apostle Paul was praying for the Corinthians and saying, may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you. You cannot have communion with the Holy Ghost if you don't belong to Christ and the words of Christ are not dwelling in you richly. You see, it's not everybody that can be your friend. You know, there are some people that they talk anyhow, they behave anyhow. Because of that, they cannot be your friend. Because you're a respectable person. There are some people that behave in certain manners. Because of the way they behave, you know that I cannot be friends. Communion is one of the things that happen when there is friendship. Communion is fellowship. Communion is what can make me come to your house and stay in your house for 3 hours. And I'm not bored. Amen? That's communion. Communion is what will make me... You know, there are some people that if they call you on the phone, by the time you say, hey, hello... how is this one fine? How are the children fine? How is this one fine? The person asks, how is that one fine? After that, the conversation has dried up because there is no communion, there is no fellowship. But many times, in order for there to be fellowship, it is usually the character of a person, the behavior of a person, the state of their heart. If it aligns, if both of you synchronize, that's when there will be communion and friendship. And there's something called the communion of the Holy Ghost. You see, if the word of God does not change you to the nature of Christ, you cannot have communion with the Holy Ghost. Just like you and somebody that talks anyhow. There are some people that can never be my friend, not in 1,000 years. Even if they call me, it is hello, hi. How is your family? Fine. How are your children? Fine. No gist. We can't gist. Because our characters are not compatible. Some people talk anyhow. Some people are self-centered. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And if you must have communion. So when people contact me and say, I have this problem. I've been struggling with this problem. The demons are afflicting my life. One of the first questions I ask is, are you born again? Are you baptized in the Holy Ghost? And many of them will say yes. But the problem is with many of them is that in spite of the fact that they are baptized in the Holy Ghost, they don't have communion with the Holy Ghost. And communion with the Holy Ghost is not possible if your nature, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As you are being conformed to the nature of Christ, your communion with the Holy Ghost will become deeper and deeper. And your power, amen, that thing we call anointing, hey, we all know anointing is real. I wouldn't be teaching here if I didn't know that there was a dispensation of the anointing to help me to do that. Bro, you mean that just thoughts, the same thing. You will know the depth, the measure of the anointing that will be in your life will be the measure of your communion. And your communion is not possible for you to have deep communion with the Holy Ghost when you have it, when your character is not yet transformed to the nature of Christ. Because all Christ is ultimately doing in you is that he's conforming you to become like him. Who you are is more important than what you have. Because when who you are is right, you know, the president of Nigeria, because of who he is, he can come here now and people will just keep lavishing him with gifts. There are so many things that we accrue. There are so many benefits. There are so many things that we have because of who he is. May the Lord give us understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. Our topic today is actually understanding your call. I was praying to God. I said, Lord, I want us to have a series because this is a teaching ministry. And if you understand any teaching system, any teaching module, there is usually a structure. When you do this, then you go. And you know, when you are a disciple, the modern word for disciple is apprentice. The reason why the modern word for disciple is not student is because when you say student, it invokes the idea of just teaching. But when you say the apprentice, it does not just invoke the idea of teaching. It invokes the idea of training. What's the difference between teaching and training? Training is what apprentices get from their masters. Their masters teach them, but they also show them how it is done and also get them to practice. Amen? So we are disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for those of us who have ever learned any work here, who has ever been an apprentice here, you will agree with me that if you are apprenticeship, that your apprenticeship is successful, you end up becoming like your master. If he was a shoemaker, he has the ability to make shoes. One of my colleagues, he's a fantastic shoemaker now, making very good money, makes very high quality shoes that they sell abroad and all over the place. He's an engineer. When he came to this town, he found somebody that was, I don't even know how we stumbled on that. Okay, there was one of our colleagues that was a female that knew how to make shoe. So he now went to learn from, I think, the person that she learned from. And he had to be an apprentice for some time. And you agree with me that you cannot be an apprentice if you are not humble. It's not possible. You cannot be an apprentice and be a successful apprentice with a oga mentality, with a big man mentality. If your boss, the person that's teaching you cannot instruct you, you cannot be an apprentice. And that's one of the things about being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because what Jesus is doing is that he wants us the goal is that as he is, so are we to be. And that is not just something that a vision he has just for now. It's a vision he has for eternity. Because the reason why he made man was for man to be his representative in anywhere that he put man. Amen. So you know that God is the one that has dominion and everything. But when God created Adam, he gave Adam that dominion. And a lot of things happened along the way, and that process was truncated. So what I'm saying is that what the Lord is doing in you right now is that he's making you. So it's not just a student, because he's not just giving you theory. The Holy Spirit is the one that is actually your teacher. But the Holy Spirit does not just teach you, he guides you into all truth. And so there are some times that the Holy Spirit will give you an instruction. And as you obey that instruction, it may look difficult, but that is a training process. Amen? Because he knows what he's doing, he's accomplishing in you. So The word is training. Doctors, for example, don't just get teaching. They get training. That's why they do housemanship or house job. You also did training. That's why you went to the hospital for, I think, a year. So what's happening to us is training. And so God, when Jesus saved us, he had something in mind. He had something in mind. There is a call. You know that popular scripture, many are called, but few are chosen. The reason why few are chosen is because in spite of the fact that people are called, people can be called and forget that they are called and forget the terms of their calling. And because of that, they will exempt themselves from the privilege of being chosen. That is not our portion in Jesus' name. Let's read Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 to 14. Matthew chapter 22, verse 1 to 14. Matthew, I'll be reading from... this Bible I have here does not have... Okay, I'll read from King James. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. Amen. And sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. That's severe. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, that he was angry, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Then said he to his servants, the wedding is ready, but they which are bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Now remember that this is a parable. It's very, very instructive. Verse 11. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Initially, when I was planning this sermon, I said I would just do some explanation. I even wrote it down. Expand the parable. But reading the parable now, I realized that if I want to expand this parable, 2 hours will not be enough. And I have just 1 hour. And this is the introduction to this series, Understanding Your Call. So what I'm just going to do is that maybe I will pick 2 verses and discuss it. And then we'll go to the main thrust of what we are discussing. You will see that some people made light of the beckoning of the king. And the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. What was going on here? It says the kingdom of God. Remember, it says the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. In this parable, we can liken the king to God the Father. And then we can liken the son to Jesus. Remember that there is something called the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is not an obscure theme in scripture. It's repeated time. Even Apostle Paul used it to express the relationship between Christ and the church, where it says that he might cleanse her by the washing of the water through the word. If you read the book of Revelation, someone should help us read Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 to 8. Revelation chapter 19, verse 7 to 8. I don't want to open there because I'm still exegeting on this particular verse. Yes. Yes. Let us be glad and rejoice.
Let us give honor to him.
And let us give honor to him. For the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb.
And his bride has prepared herself.
She has, listen to, her clothing was very, very important. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. Yes. Mm-hmm. For the fine linen represents what? The good deeds of God's holy people. Stop there. He says that, now, do you remember that that man that was, in spite of the fact that he was in the wedding feast, he didn't have proper apparel, didn't have proper clothing. What happened to him? He was cast out. Yes, he was in the wedding feast, but he didn't have proper apparel. Now, this parable is actually very, very deep. Because there were many people that were called and they did not respond to the call. The people of Israel, you know, you will see that phrase, salvation is of the Jews, in the Bible. If you read Romans, it will look as if the reason why the Gentiles were saved was because the Jews rejected the salvation of God. Yes, God knew that the Jews, remember that God knows the end from the beginning. But salvation was a very, very complex equation. That salvation was... You remember he says that you shall call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Salvation and the blessing of the Holy Spirit was a product of the covenant that Abraham had with God. It was as though salvation was for the seed of Abraham. Amen. And that's why today, when you become born again, you become grafted in. Abraham becomes your father. Okay. Now, we don't have too much time, so maybe I will not use too many illustrations. So, in order for salvation to be possible, there were not too many options available. In fact, when the devil caused Adam and Eve to fall in the Garden of Eden, I do not think the devil knew that it was possible for man to be redeemed. Are we together? I don't think he knew that it was possible. I don't think he knew that, because he felt that, yes, this agenda, this plan of God has been truncated. And this, because let me explain something. You know that before Adam and Eve fell, okay, before God created the heavens and the earth, how many of you have read the book of Ezekiel where it was talking about Lucifer? You will see there that he talked about how he was in the Garden of Eden and he was ruling and all of that. I need you to understand that that is not something that happened after. There was a pre-Adamic Eden. Amen? And I will stop there because I don't want to go. It will distract me. I will stop there. But the point I'm making is that the devil had... You see that thing we call the devil being the prince of this world and all of that? He was a prince. You know, we did the organogram. We saw the organogram of God's creation in Colossians chapter 1. And there we saw that the Lord God, who is the Lord God? Pre-incarnate Jesus, the one that became Jesus. That is the first begotten of the Father. The one that came from eternity and came into time and formed the heavens and the earth. I'm talking about even the heaven where the throne of God is and the earth. All things were made for him and by him. Whether they be thrones, whether they be dominions, whether they be principalities, whether they be powers. Remember that principality and power is not a negative word in the original sense. It's just that some principalities and powers, some that were designated, which are actually angelic beings, fell at some point. A third of them actually. And it so happened. Are we together? It so happened. Now, this is from my study. It so happened that Lucifer, one of the territories that he controlled before he fell, was that he was on the earth. Because when you talk about those angelic princes, you see, how many of you have noticed the number of planets and galaxies? They were supposed to have princes over them. That is why even till today, we talk about spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. I was discussing with someone the other time. I said, oh, you didn't know that those planets that we call, those names we call the planet, they are the names of principalities. Venus is the name of a principality. If you know ancient Rome, the time Paul was preaching in Rome, the Romans were worshipping Venus, they were worshipping Mars, they were worshipping Jupiter. Those are the names of principalities. Are we together? Amen. Now, why am I saying all of this? You know, the Bible says, add to your faith knowledge. Those are spiritual wickedness where? In heavenly places. And let me explain this. For some reason, it looks as if the earth became where God chose to tabernacle. So the earth became most important. And there was a particular cherub that was supposed to be like a representative of God. Should we read that Ezekiel? No, we are not going to Ezekiel. Bro Yemi, to next week, maybe we'll do that. We'll do a little study on Ezekiel and look at pre-Adamic Eden and look at Lucifer before he fell. So when you see Satan called the prince of this world, it didn't start because of the fall of Adam. But what happened, one of the reasons why the devil was so adamant and he was so particular to ensure that Project Adam failed was because he failed and he fell and he did not want anybody to come and take his place, as it were. Now, remember that he was just a principality and power. Are you on? Because the fall happened in the realm of principalities and powers. Ephesians says that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. So the ranking of angels, angelic beings, is basically principalities and powers. But you will now see that Colossians says that by him were all things made, whether visible or invisible, whether they be thrones and dominions. So, but when he created Adam, what did he give Adam? Dominion. And by the time we get to Revelation and we see those people that rule and reign with Christ in millennial reign, those people that were qualified worthy to rule and reign with Christ. Remember, where will Christ be ruling from? On the earth. They were given, they had thrones. So when God made Adam, he created Adam in a level, are we together, that was actually higher in spiritual ranking than principalities and powers, because what man was designated to have. So basically it's like this: thrones and dominions. You need a throne to have dominion. Amen. You need to be a principality to be able to exert power. It's just like the prince of a territory. If you're a prince in a place, for example, you have power in that territory. The local government chairman, the governor, is like the prince of that state. So the next time you are binding a demon, remember that even the way they, from the beginning, the designation that God gave you is thrones and dominions. And so you are dealing with principalities and powers. You know that whenever you have a king, the king will have princes. Princes, the king handles the bigger territory, and the prince normally handles the smaller territory. Now, in the whole of the universe, there is that sense in which God, the Lord God, amen, was the king of the universe. And then he appointed princes. And this planet that looks to us for some reason as one of as the most important in creation, Lucifer was at some point the prince. And I can show this to you from Ezekiel. Are we together? But he was the prince, and then for some reason he wanted to exalt himself to not just be a prince but to have a throne. And because he realized that there was a vacancy in that realm. Because God had already created man. God created them before he created man. Amen? So he saw that there was a vacancy. It's not as if he wanted to overthrow God. But remember that when God came into this realm, amen, the highest that there is in this realm is thrones and dominions. So you saw that even Jesus, that is God, when he's going to rule, what is he going to have? Thrones. He will have a throne. Are you following my point? So he realized that there was a strata that was vacant, and he wanted to exalt himself. Now, exalting himself to throne, which was what he... Amen. Holy Spirit, help me. Exalting himself to the place of throne. He said, I will exalt my throne and all of that. He was going to make himself like the Most High. Because remember that if the Most High comes into this realm, the highest in this realm is thrones.
Are you following my point? It's just like if you write an exam, you are the lecturer. The highest anybody can score in that exam is 100 over 100. Even if you write the exam, what will you score? 100 over 100. You know, a student can also score 100 over 100. So as far as that exam is concerned, So, but they were not created to occupy. They were principalities. They were not thrones. They were not kings. Remember, in our kingdom, is a kingdom of kings and priests. What is the difference between a king? Remember, the Bible never, ever refers to the devil as the king of this world. Because the king is the owner. But he refers to the devil as the prince of this world. Okay, let's go back to our study. This digression has been very interesting. Amen? So we say, where did you read? You read somewhere in, was it Hebrews? Revelation. And it says that the bride had prepared herself. So there was something that God was trying to do in causing a multiplication. Because I hope you know that even normally speaking, Bro Yemi is alone. I'm alone. If you want to have many people like Bro Yemi, what will he do? He will marry a wife. And the wife will be the one that will produce those children. But you know that without him, bro, you have a wife and you have children. You know, without you, your wife cannot produce children. Amen? Now, the Bible's in bringing many sons to glory, what the father was trying to want, had always wanted to do, was that in creating this realm, the Lord God was the first begotten of this realm. Okay, let's open to that Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. I don't know. That scripture is becoming my favorite scripture these days. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 1. I'll be reading from verse 15. He said, who is the image of the invisible? The firstborn. I like the way my translation. Actually, is a more accurate rendering. If you see the Greek. Over all creature. King James says, the firstborn of every creature. For by him. If you go to John chapter 1. It says, in the beginning was the word. Who is the word? Jesus. Who is he referring to here in Colossians chapter 1 verse 15? Jesus. Say, by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible. So, this one, mighty one, the first begotten of the Father, he was the first that came, because if the Father, if you create a video game now, bro, hear me? And you want to enter that video game, you know you will create an admin profile for yourself in that video game. The Father does not exist in this realm. He exists in eternity. And in order for him to create this realm, and by this realm, I mean even the heavens and the earth. I mean the heaven, the angels. The person that created them all was the one that came from the Father. Jesus is a representative of the Godhead. He says, in him lies the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when you are talking about bringing, and let me tell you something about the invisible realm. The invisible realm is not intangible. It's just that you cannot see it. Hey, did you hear what I say? An angel can slap you and you will feel the pain on your face. Because an angel is, it's not that he's in, it's just that you cannot see him. Are we together? So everything that he created in this realm, he created tangible things. Some of them were visible. Some of them were invisible. In fact, the invisible things came first. Remember that the angels were created before man, right? Mm-hmm. And they are in the invisible realm. And all of that. Even you as a man, there's a part of you that is invisible. It was created before the visible part of you. The visible part of us was formed in Genesis chapter 2 when the Lord God took clay and molded man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. In Genesis chapter 1, you saw that it says, God created them male and female, blessed them, multiply. That was the invisible part of you. And we know that as you are now, the part of you that we cannot see is more than the part of you we can see. You have a spirit, you have a soul, they are the invisible part of you. Then you have a body, that's the visible part of you. Amen? Let's read this. It says, he is before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things, that he might have all the preeminence.
Bro, Yemi, please let me find that scripture that says, in him lies the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Is in that first Corinthians, is that Colossians chapter 1? So that we'll go back to our study. So, what happened was that when the father had a son, the father also wanted to have a family. What did I say? He wanted to have a family. Somebody says he loved his son so much and he wanted to have a family. He wanted, so, and what was his plan on having the family? He needed to, that is the church, the bride. You know that what the church is doing is that through the church, many sons will be produced after the similitude of Christ. Now, these are metaphors.
Amen. Okay, bro, let me stop the search. Verse 19. Okay, because I noticed that you were beginning to become, you were, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. No, that's not it. Okay.
All right. Don't worry, leave that. We know that that scripture exists, right? This is what the encounter, so we can do all of this. All right. So, the church is God's instrument of multiplying Christ. He says, in it pleased the one of whom, by whom all things consist, to cause the author of their salvation to be perfected through suffering. And basically, he was doing that in bringing many sons to glory. Amen. All right, bro, let me stop the search. Amen. All right. He was doing that to bring many sons to glory.
Amen. So, it says the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a king that had a banquet. And he called, basically he was calling people to be part of the banquet. And now remember that these are metaphors. So they are just metaphors to help us understand the concept. So what is the purpose of the church? The purpose of the church is to raise sons that will be after the image. The purpose of the church is to produce sons. If you are truly a member of the body of Christ, if you're a member of the church of Christ, what should happen to you as a result is that you will be your life will be, you will be built and you will become like Christ. Such that sometimes maybe 3 billion years from now, Jesus will be able to send you to be ruler of one planet. And he knows that no problem, you will be as, it will be as if Jesus went there. And for now, some of you, during the millennial reign, for example, he will send some of us to, he will send you to lead Lagos State. And it will be as if he is the one that is leading Lagos State because you are a representative. And it will start now, because right now, as you are becoming more transformed and becoming like Christ, that neighborhood that you are living in, after some time, it will be as if it is Jesus that is living in that neighborhood with them, because you are a witness unto him. So the kind of things that will never happen in that neighborhood if Jesus were there will not be able to happen when you are there. The kind of witchcraft activity that was prevailing in that neighborhood before you came, are we together? When, because you are there, the demonic traffic we have to cease. Amen. So the purpose of the church is to build people up. You know, Jesus said, I will build my church. And Ephesians chapter 4 says that he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers for the edification of the church. He said that we may all come to maturity unto the stature of Christ. So you are here now. I have an apostolic call and I am doing my part. He has a prophetic call. He's doing his part. He has a prophetic call. As you keep receiving from the graces that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has arranged. Because let me tell you something. The people, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastors and teachers, their job is to build. Amen? Their job is to what? Is to build. Bro, you know that building takes time. That's why if you listen to a real a real man that is operating in his apostolic office or his prophetic office, he doesn't do 5-minute sermon. It's not possible. This era of 5-minute sermon and 20-minute sermon does not build anybody. It's just appetizers. I can show you templates in the Bible. It was 4 hours after Ananias died that Sapphira came. They were still in church. You think, what do you think they were doing? The Bible says, and they continued in the apostles' doctrine. You know, something happened not too long ago. I was so excited because we had a youth retreat in Lokoja and the youth of my home church. And it was basically a building retreat. I was so excited because there was a particular sermon that I did for 3 hours plus and nobody was tired. Nobody slept. I said, these people are growing. I was happy because they were growing. I was so happy because I was also growing in my capacity. Amen? Yes. You know that, Uncle Billy? You know, that's why the people that come out of that ministry, as they know what they are doing. You see, 4 hours teaching. Check all these believers that do 2 hours, 20 minutes. What will you get in 20 minutes? I can do a 20-minute sermon, but I'm not building. I'm exhorting. It's a charge. But when you're talking about building line upon line, precept upon precept, when this man of God is building, when he's coming to operate in his capacity, we can't give him 20 minutes. We can't give him 20 minutes. Hallelujah. Amen. So the way he builds his church is through the apostles. He says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. It is those, he says, okay, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. I don't like this translation I'm using, but I'm just going to have to stick to it for today. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He says, he gave some as apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. For the what? For the perfecting of the saints. That's for the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying. That word edifying is from the word edifice. What's an edifice? It's a building. For the building of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. My translation says, we say mature. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Paul said, my little children of whom I travel, that Christ may be formed in you. The purpose of this thing of church is that people will become like Christ. A time will come, the way you will know that people are being disciples is that you know a guy that was a guy man. He was a tough guy. A time will come that they will slap him, boah, and he will not slap back. There is no need for that. Christ has taken, you know Jesus will not slap back. Jesus not just turn the other cheek. It's not because he's a mumu, it's because he's even now wise according to the kingdom of God. A time will come that the same things, are you understanding my point? The same you knew that you were proud. Pride, if you are proud, you will not know that you are proud until you become more humble. Then when you are now more humble, you will know that you were proud. You know, Jesus said, learn of me, for I am humble and gentle. King James says, I am meek and lowly. So as you become more like Jesus, one of the things that must happen to you is that you become more humble. And if you are more, like, I remember, oh Jesus, as I grow daily, I realize how proud I used to be. Because I am becoming more humble. There are some things that you will take from people and say, hey, how can you take that nonsense? People are not in the same level. You no longer think in those categories. What is level?